All right, let's look in the Bible tonight, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I've had this thing going on now for about, I guess, 2 or 3 months, like November or October. Every time I look at the clock, it'll be 2:22, and then next time it'll be 5:55. If I ever look at it and it says 6:66, I'm going to know I'm in real trouble, amen? But I do it, I guess, 4 or 5 times a day. It's kind of odd, but I don't guess it means nothing. I'm not that superstitious, I don't guess. But I was reading through the Bible here, and I saw this in 2 Corinthians 11:11. And this is where I kind of got the idea for my sermon at, although I'm not going to use this as my text verse. The text verse, actually, you're already there, so you just don't know it yet. Amen. 2 Corinthians 11:11 says, "Wherefore, because I love you not, God knoweth." And that's what I'm going to preach on tonight. God knows. Amen. God knows. Amen. God knows. Now look in chapter number 12. It says the same thing. Verse number 2, "I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth." And you see that little phrase there, I'm going to use that. You might call it taking it out of context, but I'm going to do it anyway. Amen. It says, "I cannot tell, God knoweth." And you're going to run into situations like that all the time. What's going to happen? I can't tell you, but God knows. Amen. Makes me kind of happy right there. Let's pray. Lord, I do thank you for how good you've been to us. Lord, I think about the old preacher that used to come to our church, old singer, used to sing that song. Just to thank you for what you've done. We could spend a lifetime telling about all the things you've done for us. And Lord, that's just the things we know about, the things you do behind the scenes that we never see. Lord, that turns out to our advantage on a regular basis. God, things that go unnoticed. Sweet little nothings that nobody sees, God, but that you're doing for us on a regular basis. We thank you for those things. Have mercy on us tonight, God. What a simple message. This is nothing profound. And I suppose that some folks may not even think they've been preached to after we've left here tonight, God. But if there's one thing that I want to make known is that you're a God that watches. You're a God that sees.
That's right.
You're a God that knows.
Amen. Amen.
You're a God who plans things, God. And I thank you for it. Thank you for your goodness today. Thank you for saving that soul down there at the college today. Thank you for all you'll do through that ministry and all the ministries of the church. And I'll thank you and praise you, God, for all you've done in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God knows. Amen.
Amen.
And like I said, that little passage of Scripture says, "I cannot tell. God knoweth." I cannot tell you what's going on, but God knows. James chapter 4 and verse 14 says, "You know not what shall be on the morrow." That's kind of a scary thing, ain't it?
Yeah.
Just don't know what a day may bring forth.
Yep.
On a regular basis, I'm picking up folks in car accidents, and I've been in a few car accidents myself. I just had got my license. I turned 16 in 1986, but I got my license in 1987, and the mama said there wasn't no use in me getting no license, didn't have no car. What good's a driver's license? You can't drive that, amen, if you ain't got a car. There just ain't no need in having them. But I got my driver's license when I got me a little car. I got a little Subaru, gold Subaru, driving that thing around. I felt like a champion. That thing would fly. It would do every bit of 65, amen? But at any rate, I wrecked that car and run it off a bridge and broke it in half. And boy, if you're going to wreck them, just wreck them good. But, you know, stuff like that, you never plan on that. As a matter of fact, most of the time you're worried about driving in D.C. traffic or stuff like that, seems like nothing happens when you worry. When you stop worrying, it seems like that's when stuff happens. Amen. When you worry, you get ulcers. When you don't worry, you get accidents. So I don't know which one's the best. Amen. Do you? But that's the world we live in. That's the world we live in. But I pick up accidents and stuff like that, and they're going about their business, and stuff like that happens, and I'm sure all sorts of calamities like that, you never expect those things. You're never looking for them. And sometimes blessings you never expect. Well, I don't like to heap a bunch of hardship and stuff like that and talk about a bunch of bad stuff all the time. You know, I've been in situations where you wouldn't expect nothing good, and it just showed up.
Yep.
unexpected, because you don't know. You never know what a day is going to bring forth. And like I say, not knowing can be real scary. That certainly is the truth. That's one of the scary things of life right there, is just not knowing, not knowing. And lives can be turned around in an instant, for good or for bad. And it's just one of those things about life. If everybody was a prophet and everybody could see everything coming, that would at least, I think, give you a little bit of a heads up. But even then, I think something of life would, what I'm trying to say is something would go out of life. Then if you knew what all was coming up, what all good and what all bad, I think if you knew it was coming for sure, then I think it would take something out of life right there. I think God, being the master builder, knows how to design life. And he gave us a life in which a lot of things that's going to take place, we just don't know about. And there's going to have to come a time in your life where you have to come to the place where you just make up your mind that whatever comes, whatever God puts on my plate, then I'm going to take that and I'm going to be thankful for it and I'm going to give God the glory for it. And that's a whole lot easier to say than it is to do, because this old flesh is weak, isn't it?
Yeah.
It sure is weak. One of the scary things of life is not knowing. Just not knowing. Just not knowing. I guess it's kind of funny, but I passed a little girl a note in kindergarten. Now, I was born this way. Do you like me? Yes or no? Check the box. That's the kind of smooth we had in 1975. Amen. So, but I remember I waited about 2 days and I didn't get no answer. Boy, that's kind of stressful, especially on a kindergartner. Amen. But it arrived in the mail at my house. My teacher had sent it to my mother and asked her not to let her son be, you know, passing notes in class or nothing like that. And in case you was wondering, that's a no. That's just as good as checking the box no, amen. But sometimes in life, those little waiting periods will kind of drag you down, amen. When you don't know what's going on, you don't know what's about to happen, not knowing will make you quit.
Yep, that's right.
It'll make you fret. Yep. It'll make you worry. It'll make you panic. It'll make you overreact. It'll make you overeat.
Yep.
Amen.
Yep.
I've been trying to get a hold on that overeating thing, although I think I've overdone it. I drank 6 ounces of Coke today, first time in 3 weeks. I was at Dunkin' Donuts and I saw a bottle in the case and I said, boy, that looks so wonderful.
Amen. Amen.
Then I looked down in my bag and I saw a French Crueler donut there and I said, I may as well have a little Coke too. I mean, I'm off of Cokes, but I'm taking weight gain. I'm drinking this weight gain stuff. Everybody's looking at me, are you trying to lose weight or gain weight? Well, I'm losing weight, I surely am. I've lost 5 pounds in a little under a week. I think it's overdoing it. I shouldn't be losing it that fast. But I'm drinking this weight gain stuff so that I don't, muscle fiber doesn't deteriorate and stuff like that. But at any rate, I got a little Coke in me today and a little bit nervous from that, I think, overdoing it a little bit. But I like to eat, don't you? Boy, I like to eat. And sometimes we eat because we just don't know. Nervous about this, nervous about that, just eat. Ruth went to Taco Bell today and brought me a couple of tacos. Of course, they were the wrong order, but that's all right. I love her anyway. And I noticed on the side it said reduced fat sour cream. I felt cheated. I want all the fat. Amen. What I allow myself to eat, I want the full benefit of all of it. Amen. But sometimes, like I say, not knowing will cause you to do stuff over and above maybe what you might do. Make you overreact and make you overeat. And if you're just worried about your finances and you got a business, it might make you overcharge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I knew a Christian man, Brother Allen knows him very well. And if he got in a tight spot, he'd overcharge you for his stuff, and he might sell you something and it might be totally different from what you ordered, but it's just trying to get it out the door. And but you say, what is that? A man looking down the road at his financial situation. I just have to stay in business, so I just overcharge.
Yep.
That stuff comes from not knowing. Yep. Amen. That's exactly, you said that he's just a cheater. Well, he has resolved himself to the life of a cheater. But the basic thing, the underlying part of that is the man just doesn't trust God. And he's just going to do his very best to survive. Amen. And I'm not saying that's good. I'm just saying that's what happens when you don't know. Amen. You overeat and overreact and overcompensate and overdose and overdo it and cheat and lie and steal. And folks commit suicide because they don't know. They just don't know. Don't know what the future holds. Amen. And there's not very many good examples of what of a situation where you just not know what's going to happen, and that'd be a good thing. Just not very many examples of that. I can remember down in Georgia preaching, and Brother Nathan, I often seen him raise an eyebrow at me and turn his head sideways, and after service, just like clockwork, I don't know if I see that the same way. I just don't know if, I say, well, you just don't know what you don't know yet. Sit down and let me put all the pieces of the puzzle together and you'll see what's going on, amen. And but sometimes you don't know, you don't understand. And like he says here, Paul says, I cannot tell, but God knoweth. Amen. And you know that's true. Sometimes you're going to run it across some things in your life where you just can't tell what's happening. In your health, in your finances, in your marriage, in your church, in your prayer life, in your future. Amen? In your home, you just don't know what's going to happen, but God knows. God knows. Amen? Well, if I could just get the pastor to understand what I'm going through. And I've seen that. I've seen that many times where I could see it in a church member's face where they were trying to explain to me exactly what their situation is. And brother, you know, I'll pray with you over that thing. No, preacher, you don't understand. It's like they don't know the answer, but they know the answer. They want me to give them the answer that they know, or maybe the answer that they want to hear, and they're going to keep telling me until I go ahead and break down and give them that answer. But I can't give you the answer, because if you don't know about your future, I certainly don't know about your future. I'd like to be like Joseph down there in Israel, in Egypt, and be able to say, don't you know that such a one as I can divine? I can tell you what, no, but I can't. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Now, if I see one of your actions or one of your attitudes, I can tell what's going to happen to you down the road. If you get all swelled up with pride, I know what's going to happen to you. That's easy, because pride goeth before destruction. A haughty spirit before a fall. When you see a guy get lifted way up and he's serious about the thing, He's going to fall. There's going to be a fall involved in that. Now, that's absolute. That's absolute. If you begin to listen to rock music, your attitude is going to fall, and then your countenance is going to fall, and then your Christian life is going to fade. Amen. Your fervor for the Lord is going to fade, and then you're going to get out. I can tell you stuff like that. But what the Lord's going to do in your life and what the Lord's going to use you for and whether or not the Lord's going to answer your prayers, or whether or not the Lord's going to heal your body, or whether or not the Lord's going to let you get sick. Amen. Some folks have enjoyed good health for so long that bad health is an absolute terror to them. Amen. But preacher, tell me. Preacher, you just don't know what I'm going through. Well, listen, I may not know what you're going through, but I've got a life myself, and I know that just like you, I run into times where I just don't know. I don't know. But God knows. Amen. If I could just get the pastor to understand what I'm going through. Well, let me say, God knows. God knows. Amen. And there's folks that come to you and say, well, I just don't have any money. I'm in a place where I don't have any money. And I don't like preaching on money and stuff like that. But I know this. God knows. And maybe I should just lay this out here so you know what I'm trying to get at right from the I'm almost at the end, but I should say right at the beginning, before I get to the end, I should lay this out. There ought to be a great comfort to you tonight to know that God knows exactly not only what's in your heart, but what's in your life, what's in your future, what's going on behind the scenes, things you don't know and things you can't see. God knows. God knows about that. And to me, you know, I like to go in, I guess that's all. Tongue-in-cheek expression, because I don't like to go into a doctor's office at all. But if I had to go into a doctor's office, and if I said to a doctor, this or that hurts, or I have this or that pain, I'd like for him to pipe right up and say, oh, I know what that is, and this is the solution right here. Yeah. I take comfort in that. Oh, good. Yeah. I began to deal with some aches and pains, and I get a checkup, a thorough examination by the finest medical organization in the world, the U.S. government. Amen. Oh, but hey, I'm going to have confidence because I got faith. Amen. I'm living by faith. I tell the doctor, I said, look, man, it hurts right here a lot. And he goes, oh, it's old age. All right. That's the best answer.
Yep.
I like it. You say you're going to trust that? Sure, until I die. Amen. Because he sounded like he knew what he was talking about. Amen. The guy went to school. He better know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. But you know, at the end of the day, I do know a great physician that knows everything. He knows. And there ought to be a great comfort in the Christian life that there's nothing you're going through. I do believe that sometimes people forget about God's omniscience, his omnipresence, and all these characteristics of God. That means he's all over the place. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. People forget about those characteristics of God, and when they begin to go through something, they pray, which they should pray, but while they're praying, they're talking to God as if they're informing him. Lord, I just wanted to check in, let you know that I've got this problem. When that's not anything you have to do at all, because God knows. God knew. God was aware of it before you were. Amen. And if God knows about it, and if God's allowing it to happen, it must mean he's in control of it. What can you change? Anyway. Now, if you take that on to its next level, you can get into some dangerous Calvinism to where you can actually begin to fall off of your senses and out of your senses. There was some folks back up in the mountain where I'm from in the early 1900s, 1920, 1930, and they were such hard-shell Baptists, such strict Calvinists that a man and his wife went off for a day or two and left their little children at home, a little girl taking care of two little infant babies. And they were, independence ain't got much more sense, but they were hard-shell Baptists is what they were. There's another name for them, but who cares? But at any rate, the parents go away and they come back and they find their house is burnt up and that little girl had been cooking on the stove, or the little fireplace there, and burnt herself up. And the reaction was, hey, you know, God meant for that to happen. And went on about their lives. No, sir. That's not the kind of thing that I'm trying to get across to you. The thing that I'm trying to get across to you is as you live your life and as you make your decisions and as you reap and sow, which is also a positive thing, whether you know it or not, the things that come to you and the things that go on in your life, God knows about them.
Amen.
God's aware of them. And either God is complicit with it, God's caused it, or God's going to get you out of it. Amen? But in no case has God put you there to worry about it. No, sir. In no case whatsoever has God ever put one of his people in a place to where they could just worry. Here, I'm going to give you this situation, and what I want you to do is just sit there and worry about it. God has never done that. And that's wonderful to me.
Amen.
To think that if God allows something to happen in my life, it's strictly to draw me closer to him, to help me understand him better, to walk closer with him, and to, after it's all said and done, have a better confidence in him than I had before.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
I don't have any money. God knows. I want to preach. God knows. Amen?
Yep.
If you can only live inside the mind of a preacher that's just been called to preach. Amen? There's only so many pulpits in the world.
Amen.
And a young preacher always loves it when a preacher that gets to preach on a regular basis says, yeah, go out and preach on the street if you want to preach.
Yeah.
Amen? Because, not only does a young preacher want to preach, he wants to get up and preach to people who like what he says.
Yeah.
Amen. And folks that will say amen. If you'll say amen a couple of times, I'll feel better about myself and I'll be able to preach better and have more confidence. Well, preachers think about stuff like that just like everybody else does. And so if you want to preach, God knows. Just keep on wanting to preach and get closer to him. And I'm sure God will give you opportunities down the way. Amen. And God also knows, you know, if you just want to be heard. If you're called to preach, I'm going to always reference you back to Romans 1:11. And that's the best mindset to preach with. For I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end you may be established. That ought to be a preacher's creed. It ought to be a preacher's code. Ain't no use in just getting up and spouting off and ranting and raving about things you don't agree with. I mean, there's a time. If God calls you to do it, do it. If God says to do it, do it. If God says to prophesy, who can but prophesy? Amen?
Yep.
But there's a lot of stuff in the Bible to preach. I'm thinking more and more these days about just preaching about how good God is.
Yep.
Amen? And how wonderful he is and how much grace he has and how merciful he is and how good he is to us sinners. And I think eventually along the way you'll find somebody else who says, hey, I'd like to have some mercy like that. Amen.
Yep.
Amen. That's exactly, I believe that more and more. I still believe you ought to preach real hard every once in a while.
Amen.
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 I'm sick. God knows. God knows it. Amen. Can I tell you what your doctor knows? Your doctor knows manuals, procedures, symptoms. Not much more than that. You know what your doctor don't know? He don't know tomorrow. And I hope this is not the case, but it usually the case is they don't know your God.
Amen.
Amen. There ain't no use in worrying about your future till you get to it. There really ain't. And I say that as soft a voice as I can. Because it's a fearful thing to try to comfort somebody about what they're feeling, what they're expecting from the future. Because in an instant, me and you and everybody else could be in a place where we're very fearful about our future. But for those that are fearful, I do know this. I know for the fact that God knows what's going to take place and happen to you. And if God hasn't revealed it to you yet, there's no use in worrying about it.
Yep.
I'll tell you what there is use. There's use in taking proper concerns. Amen?
Yep.
There's use in having, if a fellow had diabetes, you should take the proper concerns. Amen?
Amen.
You should take, if the doctor gives you a medicine that says it's going to help you, and I would say in most cases you should be concerned about that and take the proper concern. But as far as being to the point where you're worried senseless about your health, no doctor can tell you when you're going to live and when you're going to die.
Amen.
You're God's child, and you're in God's care. And listen, it may be a thing that passes, and it may be something fatal, but God knows.
Amen. Yeah.
God knows. And I'm here to tell you, again, it's a very sensitive subject, and I don't want to overstep my bounds, but I'm here to tell you, you've got a God that's going to walk all the way through it with you.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Draw close to him. Like I said this morning, pray and say, God, help me. Amen. Because you'll be tempted to quit more than at any time.
Yep.
You'll be tempted to despair more than at any time. When it comes to the life of your body and the health of your body, you'll be tempted to despair more than anybody's ever despaired.
Yeah.
Amen. I know it. I know it to be the truth. Amen. Amen. I'm burdened with grief. God knows. God knows about those things. God knows what's grieving you. Are you burdened down with grief? You know, the Bible says on the cross that he bore our griefs. I was reading something this week. I was dealing with a matter in my own heart and in my own mind. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm heartbroken. I was reading my Bible yesterday. And it's Psalm chapter 69. It's about the Lord's crucifixion. And you know what the Lord did? the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about our Lord and Savior, God manifest in the flesh. That's him in Psalm chapter 69. You know what he did when it come down to the time of his crucifixion? He said, I looked around. He said, I'm heartbroken because of the reproaches that I'm suffering. He said, I looked for somebody just to have compassion on me, and I didn't find none. You know what he's doing? He's bearing your grief. You say, is the Lord really that weak-minded? Well, if you call that weak-minded, you help yourself. Yep. But the Lord was bearing the grief of his little children sitting in here tonight that's going through hardship to hardship to hardship. The Lord knows what it's like to sit there on your own. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. And the Lord knows what it's like when you can't even talk to your own family members. Yeah. And they don't understand you. And they only call you when you got an extra dollar in your pocket. Amen. Yeah. Or when they're sick, they want you to pray. But when they're not sick, they want you to keep that religion stuff to yourself. Mm-hmm. And you begin to feel like, boy, you begin to feel like Elijah. I'm the only one. Yeah. And then I look over there at one of the best pictures of Calvary there is, and there's the Lord bearing our grief. I say, I'm so heartbroken over this grief. Mm-hmm. And the Lord going to bear it with you. And if you find yourself down and out and got the molly grubs and feeling sorry for yourself, I guess that's all right for a few minutes. But after a while, you could get down on your knees and take that load off of your shoulders and set them right over there where Christ put them on that cross and say, Lord, I'm going to just leave this here with you for a little while if you don't mind. Yeah. And they'll say, well, what you going to do instead? I guess I'll go out back and shout the glory. Amen. I guess that'd do some of you good just to go out in the backyard when nobody's looking. You don't have to have nobody seeing it. I guess you're praising God. You don't need nobody else to see it. Amen. Just jump up and down a little bit and say, glory! Hallelujah! Amen. Amen. Yeah. The bank calls and said, we're going to foreclose next week. Well, I hate to hear that. Hallelujah! You say, that's stupid. You don't know. You ain't tried it.
Come on, man.
You ain't tried it yet. Why not try my way?
Amen.
Amen? Yeah. You know that's true. God knows. Amen. God knows what you're going through.
That's right.
Burdened with grief. God knows. You teens and some of you assorted elderly folks, I need a significant other. God knows. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I lived long enough to see the fact that my mother's not married, and once or twice she told me she was going on a date. I said, that is not anything I want to hear. Amen? Is there anybody else that feels that way? It's just, you know, mother take, no. I don't want to hear about that. You do what you want to. You're a grown woman, but please don't tell me about it. Amen? Amen. But I guess it's got to happen. I guess if you're a single person and you're above 30 years old, and, you know, I don't know, I don't guess you can put a date on how long a person can date, but 20 years old till you're gone, or 30 years old till you're gone, I guess you got to have somebody to hang out with. Amen.
Yeah.
Sensitive subject over here. Amen. But God knows. Don't you think God knows? God knows better than you do.
Yep.
So I just feel that, well, you better, that ain't what you go by.
Yeah.
Feelings, I got them, you got them.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
But them ain't things you get married on.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
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 Amen. Well, who should I date? Well, nobody much. But I guess it has to happen eventually. If you're going to get married, I recommend you get to know one another.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
But make sure it's who God wants you to be with.
Amen.
Because God does know. God knows. Amen? God knows. Significant others. Amen? I guess Ruth's in the nursery. Y'all heard the story I told you about talking on the telephone this morning?
Yeah.
She called her mother today. Her mother didn't pick up. And then her mother called her right back. Did she answer? Absolutely not. No, sir. I don't know how you get that far away within I just don't know. The ways of a woman are many and complicated. Amen. Don't try to figure it out. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I'm dealing with temptation. God knows. God knows about that. I believe it's times like that for a Christian that God can be most interested in your life. Is when you're going through those times of temptation. So, but what's the solution, Brother Mike? God knows. Oh, yeah, that's not the solution. That's just, no, sir. The solution is the answer. God knows. Amen. I'm dealing with temptation. God knows. What's the solution? God knows. That's the solution. God sees it. A lot of times we forget that God sees it until after we give into the temptation. Oh, God, I'm sorry I did that again. God's like, I didn't know. What, you mean you messed up? I mean, God has foreknowledge. He's seen you mess up before you messed up. You're dealing with the God that died on the cross for your sins because he knew you could not keep from messing up. So I just can't accept a Christianity that's latch. That's not latch. That's God's grace. He knows you're a complicated failure and he died for you anyway. That's the wonderful thing about it. I guess you're still holding on to your Pharisaical self-justifying ways, but God knows you're a mess up.
Amen.
That is the whole point to the age of grace in which we live.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Now, I'm all for preaching against sin and holding up high standards, but listen, if I'm holding up high standards, I'm holding up high standards to a bunch of losers. Losers. You are losers. Amen.
Yeah.
God help a congregation that ever begins to feel like that we finally arrived.
Yeah, amen.
And all we're going to do around here from now on is righteousness.
Yeah.
Loser.
Right.
That's what you are. That's what you are. That's what you was born to be, and that's what you are. You're dealing with temptation. God knows. Get a hold of that God knowing it before you give in to it.
Amen.
I recommend for that the fear of the Lord. But God knows about that too. Amen? Amen. Be honest with God. Be honest with God. And I said this at People's Baptist Church, and folks raised their eyebrows at me and just come back and say it again and say it again and say it again. Repetition is good for human beings. Amen. Be honest with God. Say, God, I know this is wrong, but I have to be honest. I want to do this. Amen. And I'm not talking about, one of the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah was that they didn't hide their sin. They were very proud of it. And I'm not talking about being proud of your sin.
Yeah.
I'm talking about having the right attitude towards sin, but at the same time being honest with God. Don't pretend it's not a sin.
Amen.
Don't accept the fact that it is a sin. Say, I'm just going to do this anyway because after all, we're all sinners. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about understanding where you're at and that the sin displeases God. And if God's displeased, you're not going to have any kind of joy in your own heart and just say, God, I know that this is wrong. I know the problems that it's causing, but I need help. And in order for me to get help, you're going to have to do something in me that I can't do, which is God changing your heart. How am I supposed to change a heart that's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked? My heart will lie to me in order to tell me I'm right with God, in order to keep me from getting some crazy thing right. Oh, you're right. Don't worry about that.
Yep. Amen.
God knows. Just be honest with God. Once God knows it, which he's going to know it before you do, and then once you know it and once you're in agreement of the thing, the fear of the Lord begins to develop in your life and some of those things get taken care of until you do it again. Amen. Amen. And then last but not least, I'm having trouble making it to Sunday school. Amen. God knows. God knows that. God knows you need to be there. Amen. I will say this, during Sunday school, there's a lot of people that's down in other places. Sunday school, or Sunday school teachers and Sunday school students, and it makes it a little more empty than most times. But you know some of you don't come to Sunday school, and you should.
Yeah, come on.
You should. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. God knows. God knows about it. Wednesday nights. Well, it's just prayer meeting, you know. God knows.
Yeah.
God knows not only whether you're here or not, but he knows whether you should be here or not.
Amen.
What do you think the answer is?
Amen.
Should I go?
Right.
Wednesday night service isn't really in the Bible, is it? That's the way people think. I don't see it in the Bible nowhere.
Yeah.
Well, what about that more and more as you see the day approach? That's in the book of Hebrews. He wouldn't even talk about it. See that hyper-dispensationalism?
Yeah.
Principles, let me tell you this. A principle, which is what you find in Hebrews 25, is right in any dispensation.
Yeah.
If you're meeting under Pastor Moses or Pastor Noah or Pastor Abraham or Pastor Jonathan Edwards, doesn't matter what dispensation you're living in, you're to assemble yourselves together.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
And provoke one another to love and good works. You shouldn't be provoking us to come down to your house Saturday on visitation.
Yeah, come on. That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
I guess we're going to have to go see them.
Yeah.
Get them in here. Amen. Let me show you two verses. Can I? Jeremiah chapter 33. I like these verses. And they kind of showed up along with this sermon in a way that I appreciate. Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3. He says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things that you already knew.
Mm-mm.
I like that. Things I don't know, if I call on him, he'll show me. He'll show me. If there's something I don't know and I call on him, he'll give me peace about it. Yes, sir. He's your only source. Listen, you can call the preacher and get me to tell you that you could pay me to tell you. You could twist my arm and get me to tell you that everything was going to be all right. But until God tells you it's going to be all right, that's the only peace you're ever going to get.
Yep, right.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. He says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things. What kind of things? The things you don't know.
Right.
Turn back just a little bit to Jeremiah 29. And here's an even better one. I love this. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse number 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Whatever it is, the Lord let it happen.
Yeah.
And the Lord's going to get you there. Might not turn out the best or like you expected, but when it turns out, the Lord will be there with you.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
When it turns out, I hope it's the best.
Yeah.
I don't hope the worst on anybody.
Amen.
But when it turns out, I hope to see you there shouting the victory.
Amen.
Amen. Instead of crying the defeat,
yeah.
Shout the victory. Amen. Lord, we do thank you tonight for your goodness.